In the name of God, the Creator, God, the Redeemer, and God, the Holy Spirit. Our readings this morning take us from thinking about what God does to who God is, and on to decide at each turn how we want to respond to God. So let's begin with the first reading from the Hebrew Scriptures. According to the introduction of this text in the New Oxford Annotated Bible, the book of Joshua describes the conquest of Canaan and its allotment to the Israelite tribes. It portrays the fulfillment of God's covenantal promise to the ancestors that their descendants would possess the land. The law plays a normative role in the book, and Israel's obedience or disobedience to the law determines their success or failures. This law is further specified as the law of Moses and refers to the law or teaching of Moses as contained in some form in the book of Deuteronomy. Here, Joshua is parallel to Moses, and the text contains many examples that illustrate this, such as Moses leads the Israelites out of Egypt. Joshua leads the Israelites into Canaan. Moses leads Israel in a miraculous crossing of the Reed Sea. Joshua leads Israel in a miraculous crossing of the Jordan River. Moses sends out spies. Joshua sends out spies. Moses allots land to the tribes east of the Jordan. Joshua allots land to the tribes west of the Jordan. In our reading this morning, we encounter Joshua gathering together all of Israel and asking them to choose this day who you will serve. He is challenging them to make a decision for or against this God of the covenant. Then the people answered, "Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For it is the Lord our God who brought us and our ancestors up from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and who did those great signs in our sight. He protected us all along the way that we went, and among all the peoples through whom we passed. Therefore, we also will serve the Lord, for he is our God." So here, quite clearly, the response of the people is based on what God does, as noted in a commentary by Susan Henry Crowe, who writes, "This one God is a God who travels with God's people. Yahweh is not tied to the land, to any place or sanctuary. This God makes a different kind of promise to the people. This God promises to accompany the covenant people no matter where they go. This God will be with them not only in their prosperity, but also in their suffering and in their trials." That theme of confidence in God's presence in the midst of trials and adversity is beautifully echoed in our psalm response this morning, in which we prayed, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and will save those whose spirits are crushed. Many are the troubles of the righteous, but the Lord will deliver him out of them all. He will keep safe all his bones, not one of them shall be broken." God is loved because God is faithful to God's promises. Let's now consider the gospel reading in which Jesus tells us today, "Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which your ancestors ate and they died, but the one who eats this bread will live forever." Here, I want to point out that Jesus, like Joshua, is contrasted to Moses in John's gospel. In the prologue in this gospel, we find, "And the word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known. Jesus, like Moses, makes God known to God's people. Or does he? Well, not really, according to our text this morning, which concludes by noting that when many of his disciples heard it, they said, "This teaching is difficult. Who can accept it?" Because of this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer went about with him. Which makes a great deal of sense when we consider that this gospel was most likely compiled in 80 to 90 CE. This was a time during which a predominantly Jewish Christian community was still trying to figure out who Jesus really was and who they as a faith community were in relationship to other Jews who they were in conflict with at the time. Here, at the end of the first century, the traditional Jewish priesthood, cult, and temple are all gone. The majority of the Jewish people simply could not go any further with God. For them, Moses, manna, and the law completely exhausted all possible revelations of God. But in fact, we now know that there have been two unique gifts of God to the human story. In the first place, God gave the law through Moses. And in the fullness of time, God gives us the gift of grace and truth in Jesus, the incarnate Word of God. This gift of grace and truth surpasses and perfects the former gift. As Jesus notes today in telling us that he is the perfection of the Mosaic gift of manna from heaven, in the gift of his very self as the true bread from heaven. As our ancestors in faith were nourished well with manna and the gift of Torah, Jesus will nourish the whole world with the gift of himself. And while the manna could not sustain physical life, Jesus, the true bread from heaven, can and does sustain eternal life. All former gifts from heaven are surpassed in him. And as many of his disciples turned back and no longer went about with him, Jesus asked the 12, "Do you also wish to go away?" And Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." Here, for the first time in this gospel, a disciple expresses faith in Jesus, not because of what he does, but because of who he is, the Holy One of God. And just as Joshua challenged the people to make a decision for or against God of the covenant, Jesus today is challenging us to make a decision for or against him as God incarnate. In the text, Baptism, Eucharist, and Ministry, we read, "In a broken world, God calls the whole of humanity to become God's people. For this purpose, God chose Israel and then spoke in a unique and decisive way in Jesus, God's Son. Jesus made his own the nature, condition, and cause of the whole human race, giving himself as a sacrifice for all. Jesus' life of service, his death and resurrection are the foundation of a new community which is built up continually by the good news of the gospel and the gift of the sacraments. The Holy Spirit unites in a single body those who follow Jesus Christ and sends them as witnesses into the world. Belonging to the church means living in union with God through Jesus Christ in the Holy Spirit. To close, let us hear Jesus say to us once again, "Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me and I in them." It's our invitation to God's table today. It's our invitation to share in the gifts of God for the people of God. As Jesus lives because he abides in God, we live because we abide in Jesus. Every time that we share in the Eucharist, every time that we take into our own bodies the body of Christ, the bread of heaven, whether physically or spiritually, our amen is really the short form of saying to Jesus, our sibling and friend, "To whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." It is here in this place and at this very table that the Holy Spirit unites all of us who follow Jesus in a single body and then sends us out to do the work that God has given us to do, to love and serve our divine Creator as faithful witnesses of Christ in our broken world in which God calls the whole of humanity to become God's people. Amen.